That's an awesome thought today, church. I don't know, I picture this in my mind. I see a mountain shaking. You know, I just see that in my mind. I don't know if it's just me. Maybe it's you too. You see the mountain shaking because the Lord thy God says, shake. You know, it just is an awesome, awesome thought. You know, many of us had these challenges this past week. It's been a rough week. I know some of your stories, and I tell you what, I just want you to center in this morning and just see the mountain start to shake. I want you to see that in your mind's eye today and let your spirit absorb that, that there's nothing that the great I am can't conquer in your life. There's no challenge that you're facing today that he can't take dominion over. There's nothing. There's testimonies in the worship center and testimonies online of people that just believe it. And those mountains start to shake. And then the enemy comes in and tries to steal it from you. Church, I'm going to tell you, don't let that happen. Don't let that happen today, church. I don't care what the doctor's report was this past week. I don't care what the checkbook looks like. I don't care that the car broke down. I don't care if your kids are rebelling. The mountain still can shake. Amen. Because Jesus says it will. There's always hope. There's always hope. Because he is the great I am. He is the great I am. Church, if you believe that today, give a praise offering to heaven today. He's the great I am today. Hallelujah. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord God, we thank you. Lord God, we thank you that the mountain still shakes. We thank you, Lord God, that your word speaks it so. And Lord God, we thank you that you showed up today. Lord God, I thank you that you challenged me to be here today. Lord God, we give you this service. Lord God, for everything you're going to do. Father, I bless you, Lord. Thank you for that. And God, I just pray that the mountains of the people's lives, the challenges that we face, continue to shake. And Lord God, let us look to heaven for the answer. Lord God, we're praying for an outpouring of power today. For weeks and weeks, I have prayed for an outpouring of power. Lord God, let it be now. Let it be now. Because, Lord, we recognize you as the great I am. And the mountain's shaking. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Church, look at somebody and say, my mountain's just starting to shake. My mountain's just starting to shake. Hallelujah, Lord. Good morning, Cross Point Church. Boy, it's a little quiet in the house today. Do I hear some hooper and hollering today? There it is. How about? Amen to that. Amen to that. Hey, thank you so much for joining us today. I am so appreciative that you decided to come into the house today. I'm appreciative if you're watching online today. Thank you again. We do this every week. Why? Because there's so many people that gather around and watch our service and come into our house, and we're so appreciative of that. If you're watching from a hospital room today, thank you for tuning in right where you're at, right? What a busy week. I want to give you a quick little commercial, if you don't mind. We are 6 or so weeks away from the Resurrection Seed Sunday, which is Easter, almost said Christmas, Easter 2024. There is a challenge today that we're going to be talking about for weeks to come. It's a Resurrection Seed Challenge, and we're going to challenge our people to come in on Easter 2024, March 31st of this year, of course, to come in with your absolute best offering that God has laid on your heart to sow a seed into a ministry that you actually get to decide where the money goes. If you look at your bulletin, folks, you can grab your phone right now and open the camera app and scan right over that QR code that talks about Resurrection Seed Offering. You get to decide where the Resurrection Seed Offering goes. We believe here that we're going to sow a seed of offering, a seed into a ministry or some people's lives or whatever. We're going to let you decide where that goes and watch the power of God displayed in your personal life because you sacrificially gave and sowed a seed, and then we're going to go and watch where we sow that seed, and we're going to walk through that process and walk through that ministry or whatever you decide, and watch what God does with your faithfulness. So if you look at that QR code on the resurrection seed image on your bulletin, you just scan over it with your app, for your camera app, and it'll light up this little thing, and you could touch it, and it goes right to the church page that allows you to, which we are calling, I guess it's a vote, you decide where we're going to put that money. And for the weeks to come, we want to take the churches, all the church that wants to participate in that, and we're going to sow that seed offering right where God wants it to be, and we're believing that you're going to help us with that and direct the church here at Cross Point to sow into the lives of people. How do you like that, church? I think, yeah, let's do that together as a church. If you're watching online, you can do the same. You can go to the website at cpoint.church, and right on the front page is the resurrection seed image, and you could go right there and click the button and say, I want to participate in deciding where the money goes. And you also can give online, where it says give online on the top menu bar of the website, and you could just click that and go and seed that offering right into wherever we're going to decide it goes. We'll be talking about that for the next several weeks, because Easter is almost here. Can you believe it? It's only 6 weeks away or so, and that is going to be a powerful day here. We challenge you to start inviting people for Easter Sunday. You could go to the new VIP center out in the foyer and pick up invite cards and pass those out to people throughout the community and let them experience the resurrection that Jesus Christ gave to each and every one of us. Wow, that's a lot, right? Somebody say amen. Amen. Somebody say, hey, good morning again. Hey, we're finishing today a sermon series called Chasing Convenience. Man, do we chase convenience, right? We just love to chase those things convenient. And it's not a bad thing, church. We've talked about this for weeks. It's not bad to have life conveniences. It's not bad. But when you start to focus on the life convenience or chase the convenience, and you start to sacrifice other things in your life, and that's what we've been talking about. So we're in this series. We're going to wrap it up today. So let me do a quick review with you on the weeks so far. We're in week four. Can you believe it? Week four. And some bad things happened this few days ago. It snowed. But some good things are going to happen this week. It's going to be 50 degrees. I did not snow blow my driveway when I came home late Friday night. I saw it, or Saturday morning. I saw a few inches of snow, and I said, nope, I'm not going to do it. God's blessing us with 50 degrees, right? That's the heaven snowblower, right? Week one, what is chasing convenience? What's chasing? It's to track something down, to run after it, to chase after it means to go get it. And we're talking about chasing convenience, and we end up just doing these things that are chasing down conveniences in our lives. We are a society of convenience. We are. We're a society of convenience things. We like the easy and the comfortable. Pastor, who wants the hard and difficult? Right? It's okay. It's okay to say, I want the easy and comfortable. And we pray for those things, and that's not a bad thing. But where's our mindset, right? Because we look at situations, but God looks at us as the person. And when you talk about convenience, God's looking at convenience as an opportunity for him to do something in your life. Now's a convenient time to take Pastor Brad from here to here. Now's a convenient time. And I may be looking at the situation I'm embroiled in, and he's saying, I'm looking at you as the person, and it's time. This is an opportunity to take you to the next level. This is an opportunity to transform your life by something I want to do in you. It's convenient for God and me. It's a time. And boy, do I wrestle with that sometimes, don't you? We wrestle with that sometimes. We talked about three things. Convenience can be deceptive. It can be deceptive. It makes you see things and put your security in things that really aren't where you want those things to be. Feeling secure, like in the wrong things. Convenience can be alluring, right? It can be really attractive. It looks really attractive. And it lures you, brings you into that situation. Convenience can be dangerous. Why? Because it ends up to be sin. And we talked about that week one. Week two, we talked about conviction, the conviction over being in convenience. And we talked about what is conviction. It's a firm belief. I am convicted that the Dallas Cowboys will win the Super Bowl next year. And some of you have been saying that for like 40 years for the Browns, right? I'm believed. I'm convicted. Firm belief. In biblical sense, it's just a conviction in your life of believing. Then that drives your behavior. Early Christians were convicted. They had this old way of doing things, and Jesus shows up with a new way, and they were convicted. I'm following the new way. That's my conviction. And they were just staying there. Through the persecution, the situations, and all the uprisings that took place, and the blame game going on, right? And saying, you did this. And they were just convicted. I'm staying no matter what challenges show up. We talked about that. The early Christians felt conviction is really convenience when compromise is involved. They believed it. They weren't going to compromise. We're staying with it. And I proposed a question on that day that said, are you followers of Christ or are we just a fan of Christ? Followers are led by convictions rooted in their faith in God's word. Fans are led by convenience rooted in compromise. When it's convenient, they follow Christ. But the moment it begins to cost them something, they say, I'm out. I'm not going there. It's too difficult. There's too many challenges to do it. And they bow out. And what we're really talking about on that week is a commitment, which led us into last week, a commitment over convenience. And my question last week was, are you a disciple of Christ or just a follower? And see, we use those terms interchangeably, and they, for the most part, are. They're interchangeable. But the follower follows the teaching. The disciple follows the teacher. The follower wants to learn more about the teachings and how they can use that to enrich their life. We got lots of followers throughout the world following teachings. But the disciple follows the teacher. To be like the teacher, right? Disciples are followers, but not all followers are disciples. I want to be like Jesus. I don't want to just follow his teaching. I want to be like him. Boy, that's a challenge in our life, right? The follower is committed to the teaching. The disciple is committed to learning about the teacher. We talked about a number of commitments last week needed to be a disciple of Christ. We said, we need to commit to elevate our faith over our family. Remember, we use the scripture that he says to hate your family, which means, no, that doesn't mean the emotion of hate. It means the prioritizing of where you're at. Jesus first, family, and so on and so forth, right? Your church is in there, right? I'm going to follow Jesus. My family's important, and so is my church. My church is important. I'm committed to Jesus. I'm committed to my family, and I am committed to fellowship with like believers in the local church. We talked about committing to model a sacrifice in our life over being so self-centered. That's the worldly position, is to be self-centered. It's all about me, right? And you know I'm telling the truth here, because it doesn't take long to see someone taking the selfie of themselves. It's all about me. I don't like those selfies, right? It's okay to take pictures, but I tell you what, you take a, ooh, look at me, right? Once or twice, it's okay, but when you see someone doing that, like, all the time, like, you're walking through the mall, and these people are walking down with these selfie sticks. If that's you, I'm sorry I bumped into you, but anyways, you're walking with that selfie stick, and it's all about us. It's not about us. It's about Jesus, right? Committed to elevate Christ's relationship above religion. We are committed in this church, as a local church of the Assemblies of God, that we are committed to relationship over religion. If you're sitting here today, of course, and watching online, if you haven't figured it out by now, we don't care about the religion aspect of it. We care about the relationship aspect of it. That's what drives us. That's what we're convicted of. That is what's driving our behavior. We want a relationship over the religion. We talked about committing the value of our conviction and our commitment over all conveniences. It's more important to us. It's more important to us. We talked about committed to be more useful to God than useless last week. I want to be useful to heaven. I want to be useful. God, what can you do? How can I be more useful? I don't want to be useless. I want to end up going into heaven and the Lord Jesus Christ looks at me and says, "Pastor, boy, were you useful. I want to hear you were really useful on planet Earth. Don't you? And because you were so committed to be used by God, by heaven, here is your reward." Wow. Enter in, right? Enter in. We talked about committed to a life of challenges over a life of convenience. A life of challenges. Why would we ever commit to that? And that's what we're going to move into today. Challenges. Challenge over convenience. Why would I want to be challenged more than being a life of convenience? Church, I'm going to do something today. I am going to challenge you. If you haven't figured it out by now, I'm going to give you a little insight. Your pastor preaches messages that challenges you. It's not convenient to do that. It's more convenient for me to have you come in on a service or log on a Sunday morning and preach and teach on things that are really convenient for you. Like a feel-good message, just to get you to feel good. I'm just not called to do that. I am called to preach a message that when you leave here or turn off your device, you say, "Boy, that challenged me today." I want to challenge you. I want to be challenged. I want to be challenged. And I preach that way. Proverbs 27:17, we'll start with the scripture. Many of you know, it says, "As irons sharpen irons, so a friend sharpens a friend." And you know what that means, I hope. As iron sharpens iron. You want to sharpen a knife, you get something that's metal on metal to sharpen the knife, right? And you see the sparks flying. And then it says, so a friend sharpens a friend. What does that mean? It's not doing the physical aspects of sharpening the knife, right? It's talking about, I'm going to challenge my friend to do it better. I'm going to challenge you to be a better, I'm going to challenge you to do it different. And I'm going to be there with you as I challenge you. I'm going to challenge you. There's a story that many of you probably have heard about these neighbors. And every day they would go to work, right? And they would see each other across the driveways. And they would do as many neighbors do. They would chit-chat, right? They would talk and they'd say things about what's your day looking like. They're friends, right? They're friends. But, you know, we're not as friendly with the neighbors as we used to be. We're just not. You know, we're not, you know, my wife and I were coming home some nights. We'd go down the road and we'd see all these cars parked at these homes and they're having a party. We always say the same thing. We didn't get invited. How could they not invite us, right? And then our neighbor right next door sent us invite to a party this last year, right? And we're like, whoa. Now, we don't party, right? But we get to go to a graduation party. And we got to meet a whole lot of the neighbors because a lot of the neighbors were invited to the party. And that's kind of, you know, that was really kind of cool. We kind of enjoyed that, to invite them. But these neighbors were talking and there's conversation going and they would do it when they go to work. They do it when they're coming home. And you probably heard this. And the one neighbor said one morning, you know, "Do you know what the two main challenges are to people today? What are the two, Fred, do you know what the two main challenges are to people?" And he said, "No, I don't really know, but I really don't know, and I really don't care." And the guy looks up and says, "You're right. Those are the two challenges. I don't know, and I don't care." And church, I want to tell you something. I don't want to be that type of person that I don't know and I don't care. And even if I know I don't care or I don't even know altogether, I want to know and I want to care. I want Jesus to challenge me to know and care about people. And on Wednesday night, as Pastor Mike talked about, there's 119 people here because we know people and we care about them. And they came in. Many of you were there, and there was many first-time visitors, like the largest first-time visitor Wednesday night we've ever had. And Pastor Mike said, "Amen." There it is, right? I want God to use me. The thought's like this. It's more convenient not knowing or caring about other people. It's just more convenient. I got enough problems of my own. I don't need to be burdened with their problems. God challenges us to know people and to care about them. What does challenge mean? It's a call to action. It is a call to action. Church, buckle your seatbelts and hold on. It's a call to action to know people and care about people. It's a call to action to do something that God wants you to do. It's a call to action. There's a challenge coming from heaven to your life, and God is expecting a response. That's the challenge. He wants to get our attention. In the biblical sense, of the challenge reads like this: a call to action to overcome a situation through an opportunity to demonstrate something. I'm going to read that again. The challenge, through biblical sense, is a call to action to overcome a situation through an opportunity to demonstrate something. I challenge you means it's a call to show me what you're made of. That's what it means. It's a call to show me what you're made of. It goes like this: the problem is the situation, and the challenge is your response. When we ignore the problem, it gets worse. When we overcome the challenge to fix it, things get better. And I'm going to start this morning with a really simple story that we've used before. There's a couple scriptures I have today that I'm going to use that we've used before, because I want you to see how God uses them for one way and he uses them for another. Watch what happens. In John chapter 9, there's a story of Jesus walking with his disciples. And they're doing what he does. He's teaching and they're listening. And there's conversation. And they come upon this man that's blind from birth. And then there's dialogue. And a whole bunch of challenges show up. See, we read the scripture differently, but today we're going to read it through the eyes and the filter of being challenged. And I want you to see that. So let's read the scripture together in John chapter 9, 1 through 3. It should be on the screen behind me or on the device in front of you if you're watching online. It reads like this: as he was going along, he saw a man blind from birth. The scripture tells you right away, John's writing saying, here's what the scene looked like. His disciples asked Jesus, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," Jesus said. "But this happened so the works of God might be displayed in him." And I want to show you a couple things about that scripture that you may or may not have seen before when he says, who sinned? The disciples, who sinned? Somebody sinned for this guy to be blind. Maybe, maybe not. But they right away go to somebody had to sin. This man or the parents, right? There was a challenge by the disciples to Jesus to explain it. There is a challenge to Jesus to, just like you and I do almost every day, we challenge Jesus, right? We do. And they were no different. They challenged Jesus to make an explanation. So Jesus says, well, listen, nobody sinned. And what's the challenge? The challenge is, Jesus, explain to me how somebody could have sinned that was born blind. He's born blind. Therefore, how could his sin cause him to be blind? And the challenge goes out to Jesus. Explain that. And if that wasn't the case, boy, that's a tough explanation, right? Then it's got to be his parents. But the assumption is that somebody had a sin to cause that to happen from birth. And boy, there's a challenge goes out to Jesus. And his response is, neither of them did. They didn't do it. And he tells you why. Your thought process is different. And now he comes back with another challenge to their life. He says, listen, he was born blind so the power of the glory of the Father could be displayed through him. This guy's born blind, blind for life, because God's going to show up one day and challenge people to watch what God can do. And that's the guy God selected. And John's writing about it. And Jesus throws out the challenge right back at his disciples. Neither of them sinned. What he's saying is, there's a tremendous opportunity right in front of you, and I'm going to challenge you with that opportunity. And it certainly wasn't convenient to be blind from birth. And so Jesus continues with the challenge. He spits on the ground and he forms some mud and he places it on the eyes of the blind man. We've read this a million times. And Jesus throws out a challenge. And the challenge is, you're covered in mud now. He couldn't see anyways. He says, go wash that mud off in the pool of Siloam. The pool of Siloam is the place in Jerusalem where King Hezekiah built to bring fresh water into the city. They would even bathe in it. So he says, I want you to go into that pool and wash it off. What's he saying? I challenge you to go do it. What, just to wash off some mud on my eyes? No, no. The expectation and the challenge was an opportunity. Because Jesus just told the disciples, this man is blind, so the power of God could be displayed through him. And the guy's listening to this, and he's finally realizing, what? Is that me? I'm the guy? Yeah, you're the guy. What does that mean? And Jesus then challenges him, if you believe me, go wash off your eyes. So the man decides he's going to go where Jesus told him to go. Now, the pool of Siloam is really unique because it means sent. Sent is what that pool means. And this guy was just sent to the pool by the man that was sent from heaven to use this man to display the works of the Father. And he challenges him after the conversation to follow up with the challenge and go wash off the mud. I wonder what his thought process was as he's taken every step to go do this challenge. Am I really going to be seen? Is he just talking about why I get off the blood off? I mean, off the mud off my eyes. What's going to happen? Am I really the guy he said I was? Am I the guy that God chose to display all because I'm blind from birth? Can you imagine? But what could you imagine if he wouldn't have accepted the challenge? And he never would have went to the pool of sent by the man that was sent from heaven to put some mud on his eyes so the Lord thy God's glory and power could be displayed in him. There's so much going on there. And he's walking thinking about it. The scripture says he went to the pool and he washed it off and he could see. And later in the scripture, he comes back to testify to Jesus about it. I am the guy. I am the guy. And I could see today because I accepted the challenge from the man that was sent from heaven to earth to send me to the pool that means sent. And I did all those things and now I can see. What a powerful representation in God's word. Right? He overcame because he accepted the challenge. He overcame his blindness. He prevailed. It's subdued. It's overcoming means to be victorious, conquer, overpower. I did it because the man said to go and I went. I accepted the challenge. Your challenge may be your opportunity for God to display his works in you and through you. Your challenge may be your opportunity to be sent. And Jesus said, go. And if you don't go and accept the challenge, you're never going to get to the overcoming part. Because you didn't accept the challenge. He accepted the challenge. Are you up for the challenge today, Cross Point Church? And what is our attitude when we're being challenged? I'll tell you what a lot of it is because it's happened to me. When we're being challenged, here's what we say. Why me? Why me, God? Why me? And I'm going to tell you the answer to that question. Because challenges aren't convenient. Because challenges are not convenient. If you want to get the results to overcome the situation, you're going to be challenged by heaven to do it. And if you don't go do it, you're not going to overcome the situation. And it's not going to be easy. Because God challenges us, and it's not convenient, right? Isaiah 41:13, it says like this, for I am the Lord your God who takes hold of the right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you. You know, the Israeli people, they've gone through all this stuff. They're serving God. They're not serving God. They're serving idols, you know, battles and wars and strife and captivity and you name it, they've done it, right? And there's some dialogue going between the people and God saying, I am your helper. And it's in the scripture. It says, I will help you during the challenges of your life, during the challenges of your countrymen, during the challenges of your children and all of those situations. He says, I'm going to help you. And that's kind of the background going on in that very short scripture. What's the challenge? The challenge is, do you believe me? Do you believe me? Do you believe me that I will help you? Or are you going to run after all these conveniences all the time, these idols? We talked about that a week or so ago. When the idol is put up in Bethel, the idol is put up in Dan, and he says, go be more convenient, worship here, don't go down to Jerusalem and worship anymore. I'll give you some convenience. Do you believe him when he says in the scripture, I am there for you, I am the great I am? Do you believe him when he says, I'm going to help you? Do we really believe that challenge, I'm going to be there for you? Thoughts like this, church, we miss sometimes that a challenge offers an unmatchable return because we sometimes walk away from things that are not convenient. We miss it, that challenge is going to give us some unmatchable, unbelievable deliverance. Here, listen to this. What we walk away from will determine what we walk into your life. What we walk away from will determine what walks back into your life. Pastor, what does that mean? If the man wouldn't have went to the pool to get healed, he would have spent the rest of his life looking to get healed. Would God have continued to give him opportunity after opportunity and challenged him to follow his word and say, just give it a shot? If God needs you, you may be challenged until you respond. And if you don't respond to the challenge, God's going to continue to challenge you. If you constantly chase convenience and God's trying to send a lifeline your way and you're constantly going after the convenience thing, because I don't want to walk to that pool, it's too far. I don't like the mud on my eyes during the whole walk. I'm going to take it off now. He told me to go walk. No, I'm not going to do that. I just get it off. Right? If you don't accept the challenge, then God's going to continue to send another challenge your way until you get it. And then we wonder, church, why we're always challenged. Maybe we should start accepting the challenge in the first place, and then God wouldn't have to re-challenge us. Maybe God's just trying to get your attention. Maybe you're the person that God selected for the challenge, right? It's you and nobody else. See, we got to go like this. We need to recognize God uses challenges for his purpose. We need to recognize, church, that God uses his challenge in our life for his glory. What if God needs you to be challenged to display his glory and his power in a situation? Maybe you're the person that God selected. Maybe you're the guy that's blind from birth type, right? It's you. And God says, I'm going to use you to display my glory and my power on planet Earth. It's you. I'm going to use you today. There's nobody else on planet Earth I can use. I'm going to use you because I selected you. And I'm going to challenge you to go to that pool and not wipe off the mud before you get there because it's more convenient. And if you follow with the challenge that God places in your life, and you're thinking right now, boy, I got some challenges. Yeah, think about those challenges today. Think about those challenges today and where you're walking in that challenge. What if God needs you to accept the challenge to display his glory and his power on planet Earth, and you're the only one that he's waiting to accept that challenge? Genesis 50:20, watch this. You intended to harm me, but God intended it for all good. He brought me to this position so I could save the lives of many people. This is the story of Joseph and his evil brothers, and you probably know the story where Joseph is just, he's got a big family, right? He's got a big family. Many of you come from big families. He's got a bunch of brothers, and they were just wonderful to him, right? They were just the sweetest things. They just did everything they could with this guy to make him feel at home. They plotted to murder him. Now, I know some of you right now say, my brother, my sister, I would have just killed him, right? They were literally thinking about doing that, right? They held him in captivity. They sold him into slavery. He was in prison in Egypt because of his lovely, loving brothers. Right? It's a story. It's paraphrased, but that's the story. But Joseph elevates himself to governor of Egypt because he could interpret some dreams. And that ability of accepting the challenge from heaven just to keep going and going and going, much like a lot of you need to keep going and going and going, to keep going through life's challenges. God keeps throwing them your way and you keep accepting them because there's some big purpose mission that he needs you to accomplish on planet Earth. And Joseph just kept plugging away. You intended to harm me. All this situation, the brothers, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good. I'm up for the challenge. I want God to see what I'm made of. I want God to know that I can do it. I want God to know that no matter what you throw at me, I'm going to be successful at taking on that challenge. Challenges not only remind us of our weaknesses, but they also remind us that God is in control. God never promised us a turbulent-free journey, a stress-free life, but he promised us a really safe landing. He promised you a safe landing, but he never said it's going to be easy. Church, I want us to recognize you may be selected. You actually may be the one selected by heaven to accept the challenge, to fulfill the challenge, to show God's glory and power on planet Earth. It may be you in John chapter 9 in modern day. It could be you. Why? Because there's no such thing as convenient Christianity. There is no such thing as convenient Christianity. There is something that's called challenge Christianity. The irons, sharpening the iron. To challenge us to be better. You may never find a convenient season because Jesus Christ is not a convenience. You may never find a convenient season because Jesus isn't a convenience. Great victories of faith come through conviction, commitment, and challenge, but never through convenience. I don't think I could sum up the series any better than that. That's what the series is all about. And we end up chasing convenience and we miss the conviction, the commitments, and the challenges that God's called us to go through. To change your friends, to change your family, to change your church, to change Canton or Lewisville or Perry or Jackson or North Canton or Akron or whatever. You could be the one that God is asking to be challenged to change something. And if you don't go to the pool and you rub the mud off of your eyes, it's never going to be successful. Why? Because God's asking you to be challenged. It's you he has selected. He has selected you. Some of the challenges that I go through are not your challenges. Some of the challenges that you go through are not my challenges. God needs me to do certain things. God needs you to do certain things. Oh, Lord God, don't let me rub the mud off my eyes before I get to the pool of success or the pool of deliverance. Let me be up for the challenge. Jesus challenges the myth of convenience. I'm going to take you back to a scripture we used before. Get ready. Matthew 16, 24. You know this scripture that Jesus says to his disciples during the conversation. If any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your way. Take up your cross and follow me. Give up your way. That means there's a challenge from Jesus that you make a decision. You're going to go down the road of convenience of the things you always were doing. Tax collecting, fishing, doctoring, right? They're professions. Or you're going to give those away, and I challenge you to go this way. And he lays down that challenge. The unique thing about when Jesus lays down that challenge to give up your way. Church, I'm going to tell you something. Giving up your way is a whole lot more convenient than going a way that you know nothing about. Now, there is accepting the challenge from the great I am. I'm going to go down this road. I don't even know what it looks like. I don't even know what it is. But this guy, ooh, he's got something for me. There's got to be. And they accepted the challenge over the convenience. If you're watching the Chosen series that's come out in season 4, you'll know even more what I'm talking about and the challenges that they faced. It's tricky when it comes to convenience, because people want to chase convenience because it's easier than chasing conviction, commitments, and challenges. Your faith is challenged. Genesis 22, 1 through 2, let me give you a scripture that I'm trusting many, if not all of you, know. I selected this on purpose because it talks about challenge, because your faith is challenged. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. Tested means he's challenged him. He said to him, Abraham, here I am. He responds. I love that part. I love that part. Pastor Brad, here I am. Right? What? Like he didn't know where he was, right? Here I am. See, we think it's physical. It wasn't physical. It means I am ready to accept a challenge. Here I am. I'm ready. It wasn't physical as much as it's accepting the challenge. Abraham, here I am. What do you got for me? It's not going to be convenient. Here I am. He replied, the God said, take your son, your only son, the one you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain that I will show you. Your only son, your only promised son. Decades before, Abraham had been promised a son, and Isaac was conceived and born because God promised him. Isaac appeared when Abraham and Sarah were very old, way past childbearing ages, right? But God promised Abraham that he would keep his promise and give him a son, and they named him Isaac. And now God was challenging Abraham to give him back. I gave him to you. Abraham, where are you? I'm here. Here's what I got to do. I want you to take that boy that I promised you years earlier and I blessed you with, and now I want you to return him to me. And here's how I want you to return him to me. I challenge you to do it. And be obedient. I challenge you. It's not convenient to sacrifice my own son. Doesn't say that. He's up for the challenge. And you know the story. He takes his son over the journey to the altar. And before he does it, the father cries out, stop. Stop. You were successful at the challenge. You were successful. A challenged faith doesn't just celebrate who you are, but relentlessly molds and refines you into what God wants you to be. And there's people sitting here today and people watching online that are being challenged to do something from heaven, and they're saying, I'm going to chase convenience more than chasing after the situation that God's got me to. It's too challenging. But you may be the only person. You're the only person that's up for the challenge and that God is calling to be challenged. You know, church, people are being challenged today more than ever. Right where it hurts the most. Some of our kids are being challenged. Some of our parents and our friends and our family and churches and situations are being challenged. And it's painful. It's painful. And I'm going to tell you why. Because God never asks for anything that means very little to us. God never asks for those things that don't really mean anything to us. He asks you to be challenged on things that are really big. And there's some substance to them. That's what he wants. And all through the Bible, there's challenge after challenge. I could have preached on this for hours. Challenge after challenge of those that heeded the challenge and those that did not. The results of the people that heeded the challenge is over convenience and the people that did not. Story after story after story. But I got a feeling that this morning God is speaking to each and every one of you, and you know exactly what I'm talking about. I don't want to chase the convenience. I don't want to do it anymore. God, give me the more challenge. If it's me, I'll go after it. Lord God, don't let me wipe the mud from my eyes before I get to that success in the pool. I'm going to go and do it. I don't want to serve in that ministry. You're challenging me to do it. I don't want to pray for that person. We don't get along. He's challenging you to do it. I don't want to go to my neighbor and talk to him. He's challenging you to do it. I don't want to pray for the pastor today. He hurt my feelings. He's challenging you to do it. Why? Because he gets you right where you need to be gotten. So, church, I'm going to challenge you as you wrap up this series to show me what you're made of. It's the same challenge, but I'm going to find out what you're made of on March 31st when we bring our resurrection seed offering into this church. It's a challenge to see what we're made of as a church, as a people. To write a check, whatever. To change your life. It's not convenient. It's hard. But I'm being called to lay out that challenge. And if I'm the only pastor, the only one that's going to listen to that challenge, I'm going to accept the challenge and participate with you. So, church, I want you to show me what you're made of. I challenge our church to live by conviction, commitment, instead of chasing convenience. I challenge you to do that. If you accept the challenge, as the worship team starts to play, I want you to get up out of your pew. I want you to come to the altar of Cross Point Church. If you're watching online today, I just want you to watch and pray and just come together as we worship around the altar, accepting the challenge to come together as a church and say, Pastor, I'm going to live by conviction. I'm going to commit myself. I'm not going to run to the easy way out. I'm not going to chase convenience. I'm going to do what God's called me to do to transform my life and somebody else's life. And I'm going to rally around the church in the altar, the church that I love, and raise my hands and sing about the great I am and accept the challenge that God lays on my heart, maybe one he already has or one that he will do today in the days ahead. Why? You're up for the challenge. God's not going to call anybody else. Church, stand with me and let's come down to the altar and let's rally around God's altar and sing about the great I am and accept the challenge from heaven.
You command the waters and the wind.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. He is greater. He is greater than any challenge that's placed before you. And you can accomplish any challenge because He is greater, church. Do you believe that today? I'm going to leave you with a final challenge. I know you're up for it. I'm going to leave you with a final. I challenge Cross Point Church to show up for a live night this Wednesday. I challenge you to be there. Why? Because we're going to go alive to the Spirit of the living God. And there's going to be a transformation that takes place here Wednesday night. I challenge Cross Point Church to show up because the visitors are going to be pouring into the building. And they need to see you. So I challenge you today to be here. If you can be here Wednesday night. I know there's some of you that have some other responsibilities that you're stuck with, and that's okay. Quit your job. I just quit. The challenge is greater. I thank God I am not chasing convenience, that I run after conviction and commitment because God has challenged me. Let's go out thanking God that we don't chase after convenience. God bless you. 'Cause He picked me up.